Christmas grace. I certainly hope that the service thus far has been a blessing to you. I trust that it has been. It's so good to have you with us here at Cornerstone this special Sunday morning before Christmas. It's such a blessing to see our college students back with us. I believe all of them are back now, and it's so good to have them back with us for a short time before they go back for their spring semester. And I am glad that you're here today. Again, I trust already you've been blessed with the service and that the preaching of the Word of God will be a blessing to your heart as well. I can tell you what I am sure has not been a blessing this past week, and that is the news that we have heard really for a long time now in the news cycle that we see in the most common media sources. I am genuinely curious. Can anyone say that they've heard any good news out of the main media sources, let's say this past week? Any good news? I saw some people start to raise their hand and then kind of do this number. No one else is raising their hand. How about in the last month? Can you legitimately remember hearing any good news the past month out of the mainstream media sources? How many of you? Amazing. You would think that this time of the year would be a time to hear some good news, wouldn't you? I'm reminded in Luke chapter 2, the angels said, "We've come with a message of peace, goodwill to men." If there was ever a time of the year that we might set above other times of the year for good news, it would be this time of the year. For goodwill between men, it would be this time of the year. But we don't see it. Thank you, Calvin. We don't see it, do we? We don't hear good news. We don't see the goodwill that we think we might see. We had connected outreach here yesterday afternoon, and after outreach, my family and I had a couple of stops to make, and someone had graciously blessed us with an Olive Garden gift card, so we decided to place a takeout order and pick up our dinner and carry it home for dinner last night. And as I was coming out of the restaurant, there had been a large party there for somebody's birthday, and they were loading up in vehicles to go. Some of them had difficulty walking. There were a couple of them who were older who had walkers, so their family members pulled their vehicles right up to the door so that they could easily get in their vehicle. Well, someone had parked along the curb there to get a pickup order, not in one of the to-go spots. They were just along the curb. Well, these others who were getting their elderly family members into the vehicles had kind of blocked him in. Well, he was back in his vehicle with his food ready to go. He started honking the horn. I thought there was going to be a brawl. I'm not joking. There were about 10 or 12 of that other party who started screaming obscenities at the person in that vehicle. One of them actually approached the vehicle and hit on the window. I was standing outside my vehicle because I was blocked even from getting into my vehicle, and I was like, I don't think I should be here right now. You would think if there was a time of the year that we would hear good news or see goodwill being demonstrated, it would be this time of the year. But we know you're not going to tune in the news, even today, 3 days before Christmas, and hear good news. But this is a time of the year for good news. And no matter the bad news that you and I have seen over the past week, month, and longer on the television or in the newspaper, whatever bad news is swirling around us everywhere, this time of the year is about the greatest news that man has ever received. It's not a breaking story because it's not happening this moment, but it is news that is timeless, and it is as meaningful today as it ever has been. This news was first proclaimed there in Luke chapter 2, where I'll ask you to turn in your Bibles today, by a group of angels to shepherds on the hill outside of Bethlehem on the night that Jesus was born. So please open your Bible to the gospel according to Luke chapter number 2, and when you have found your place, I'll invite you to follow along as I read Luke chapter 2, verses 18 through 20. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. The Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." Have you ever had a time where you've seen a Bible story and wished you could have at least been there as an observer? This would be one of those times. Verse 10, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, please help us as we open your word today. Thank you that we have the opportunity to sit here freely in this place to open the word of God, to see the message that you have for us today. Thank you that in a world that is enamored with and focused on bad news, that we have good news. The greatest news that's ever been given to man. And though this news was given about 2,000 years ago, it is timeless and it means as much to us today as it did to the shepherds who heard it that night. I ask you today that as we look to your word, you would speak to our hearts, knowing what our needs are, and help us to respond accordingly. And we will be sure to praise and thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name that we pray these things. Amen. This passage of Scripture depicts the first announcement. I don't want you to miss that. This was not a secondary announcement or a third or a fourth. This was the first announcement of the birth of the Messiah to man. And it came to these shepherds. Today, as we examine it, my challenge to you is to hear and respond to the Christmas message. That simple. Hear and respond to the Christmas message, the good news that this time of year is all about. I want you to see these thoughts with me from the Word of God. First of all, simply hear the heavenly announcement. Hear the heavenly announcement. On that night that Jesus was born, a heavenly announcement was sent by God into the world. That in of itself makes this announcement important, doesn't it? if God is going to cross, if you will, time and space to reach down and bring a message to man, it must be an important message. Consider whom the message was delivered to. Luke invites us, after sharing the account of Jesus' birth, the record of his birth, to the hills outside of Bethlehem where these shepherds were watching their flock by night. Why the shepherds? If you had news to share, I'm not talking about your average run-of-the-mill news. If you had earth-shattering news to share, how would you share it? You may get some pressmen together, those of the press, knowing that the message would get out quickly. You might post your Instagram or Facebook or whatever you use these days. You might, if it was a message of import like this, you might try to get a hold of authorities in your area. You might even try to get in to see the president. You would do all that you can to make sure that this message got out to those who would have the import themselves to share the message beyond that. But God chose shepherds. Here they were on the hills outside of Bethlehem that night. These shepherds, as were all shepherds in that culture, looked down upon. History tells us that shepherds were among the lowest class of society. In fact, there's historical evidence that suggests that shepherds were just looked upon as people of low reputation. They were not allowed to give testimony in the court of law. They many times were people who had been in prison at one point for one thing or another. Historical evidence suggests that shepherding was the only job that a convict could hold. And especially being the third shift workers, they were especially looked down upon in that day. They were considered the society undesirables. If you wanted to be looked well upon in society, it wouldn't be a shepherd that you would be hanging around. I mean, put it into today's context. If you were to take someone who was of poor reputation and share a message of great importance with them, just think about how others would receive that. Even in courts of law, many times, the prosecution or the district attorney or even the defense lawyer, as they call witnesses to the stand, what is something they're always concerned about? The reputation of the witness. Is there going to be something brought to light during your testimony that is going to look bad on the testimony you give because you're a person of low reputation? That was the shepherd in New Testament times. And yet, it was shepherds that God chose to give this message to. Isn't that amazing? Think about who delivered the message. These shepherds were just going about their task. They were watching over their flocks. They were seeing to it that their flocks were taken care of overnight, that they were protected from those creatures that may come and do them harm, or the thieves that may come in and steal. But the Bible tells us, as they're there, suddenly, in a moment, an angel appeared and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. The picturesque language of this text paints a very clear picture. Here the shepherds are down on the ground, and above them the angel appears, and the glory of God is radiating that entire place. It's no surprise that the shepherds were a little fearful. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament prophet of Ezekiel that because of Israel's rebellion against the Lord, God had removed his Shekinah glory from the temple. That manifestation of God's presence among his people, his glory dwelling in Israel, had been removed and was no longer there. But now, suddenly, hundreds of years later, on the hills outside this little village of Bethlehem, to these lowly shepherds, the glory of God is present in that place. And they're surrounded by it. The Bible tells us that they were sore afraid. This uses both a noun and a verb to describe their fear. Very literally, it would be translated, they feared a great fear. What does that mean? It means they were really scared. Early this past week, we took our children, Stephanie and I, to Spencer, North Carolina, to ride the Polar Express train ride. We were there a little early, waiting on our time to get on the train and take the ride. And so we were walking along a sidewalk there where they had some Christmas light presentation set up. And about 30 feet in front of us and just to my left was a train on the tracks. I was walking with Michael hand in hand, just walking down the path looking at the lights. Michael's not a fan of loud noises. He doesn't like them at all. We've been in a lot of places. If a group of people start applauding, he's traumatized. He just does not like loud noises. There we were walking along that path, and if you can picture, there I am holding his hand. He's here reaching up into mine, and suddenly that train that was just right there about 30 feet away sounded its horn. Michael's over here looking at lights. I'm my son, Michael, for just a moment. That train horn sounded, and this was Michael turning to me and reaching up to me, screaming at the top of his lungs. Ah! I picked him up, and he continued to bawl his eyes out basically the rest of the night. We went over to where we were to get in line to go on the train, and there was a moderator who was trying to keep the crowd excited before we got on the train. You know, you got to keep kids excited. He was not exciting Michael at all. He was getting loud. He was asking, are you ready to go on the trip? Yeah, I can't hear you. Yeah. I'm holding Michael. He's looking into my eyes going, ah! He's gripping my neck with his hands and his nails. And I could feel his hands shivering as he was, not because he was cold, but because he was scared out of his mind. He was afraid. Can imagine the shepherds kind of like that. You've got to remember that in their day, they believed that seeing an angel meant one thing. I'm a dead man. The shepherds very likely at that moment began fearing for their lives. Here were these ordinary men suddenly thrust into the presence of God, and they felt unworthy. But I also want you to consider what the message was. What was the message from God to these lowly shepherds outside of Bethlehem that night? Would you think, first of all, about this? It was a message of assurance. It was a message of assurance. What did the angel say? The first words out of the angel's mouth, "Fear not." They were afraid, probably for their lives. They were absolutely terrified. Here's this angel. God's glory is about us. Are we dying and going to heaven? What's going on? They were afraid. What did the angel say? Don't be afraid. Fear not. Being in God's presence is a fearful thing. When I understand my own unworthiness, and certainly those shepherds did, as anyone would who would suddenly be thrust into the presence of God. But I want you to notice, friend, that God did not come to the shepherds with a message of condemnation. No. God came to them with a message of assurance. God's a holy God. We're unholy people. He's righteous. We're not. He is everything good. We, in comparison, are everything bad. But God's message to the shepherds was, fear not. You don't need to be afraid. You're unworthy to stand in the presence of God, but God's message is not a message of condemnation. God's message, rather, is a message of compassion. God does not come declaring the bad news only. God comes declaring the good news. Notice this, secondly, not only was it a message of assurance, but it was a message of acceptance. God's message to the shepherds that night was a message of acceptance. Notice the message again, if you will, verse number 10. The angel said unto them, fear not. Now here's the message, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And now here is the good news. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You don't need to be afraid. God's message to you is a message of assurance, but it's also a message of acceptance. Pastor, what do you mean by that? The message was for the shepherds, but not the shepherds alone. The angel said to them that I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to what? All people. This is for you, shepherds, but it's also for the kings in their palaces. It's for the prisoners in the dungeon. It's for noblemen with their riches. It's for slaves with their chains. The good news from this heavenly visitor was and is good news for all people. And as my one Bible professor used to say at college, all means all, and that's all means. This message is for all people. God does not reserve his message for one tribe, one specific nation, one group, one demographic. His message is not only for the rich, it's for the rich and the poor. His message is for the free and for the slave. His message is for the law keeper as well as the law breaker. His message is for every nation, every person, of every color, of every social status, of every demographic type, of every age, of every tribe, of every tongue, and we could go on. His message is for all. And what was the message? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Hear the heavenly announcement. You may be rich, you may be poor. You may be free, you may be bound. You may be moral, you may not be. You might be white, black, yellow, red, brown, or some other color. You may be very old or very young. You may be high on the social ladder, you may be low. Whatever, wherever, and whoever you may be, God has a message for you this Christmas time of year, and it's this: for unto you a Savior is born. So whether you're here in this auditorium on this Sunday, December 22nd, or you're hearing this message online in some other state or some other country around the world, this message isn't restricted for those of us here in this place in Rocky Mount, North Carolina on this day. It's for all people at all times in all places. God sent his Son into the world for you. His word declares that he and he alone is the Savior, come into this world to save us from our sin. Hear the heavenly announcement. Secondly, respond to the heavenly announcement. These shepherds heard this announcement. Can you imagine being the shepherds? Or just being an observer there that night? as the only light is the light of the stars and the moon up on in the sky. And suddenly you are surrounded by a brightness, the Bible says, above the brightness of the sun. That's how the Bible declares the glory of God, that is radiating all around you. That brightness was bright enough to blind the Apostle Paul for 3 days. I mean, to be suddenly in that place, to fear, a great fear, to probably be afraid for your life, and suddenly hear this message from heaven, to see an angel appear before you, and along with that angel, all of the heavenly hosts up in the sky, praising God, declaring this message. By the way, angels don't look as soft and cuddly and fuzzy as they often do in nativity scenes. Okay? They're pretty fearful looking beings. By the way, the Bible declares here in Luke chapter 2, these were the hosts of heaven. These are the armies of the Lord God Almighty, of the Lord of hosts. No wonder they were afraid. But then they receive this message of assurance, don't be afraid, of acceptance. We've got good news for all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What's the angel tell them to do? To go to that place. To find the baby. How did the shepherds respond? There are three characteristics about their response I want you to see that are recorded in the scripture. Number one, they responded personally. The shepherds did not draw straws for who was going to go or who was going to stay. The Bible doesn't record that they had a conversation amongst themselves. We don't know how many there were, but that they had a conversation amongst themselves. Let's, you know, this group go and this group stay, or you go and the rest will stay, or all of you go and I'll stay. No, what does the Bible say? They said, let us go. As a group, they went, but they all decided individually to be a part in going to see the baby. They responded personally. Notice they responded promptly. What does the Bible say that they said in verse number 15? Let us now go. And in verse number 16, the Bible says, and they came with haste. Do you know anyone who is usually slow about everything they do? We call our middle child Evelyn our turtle. She is slow about everything she does. I'm concerned that if we were ever in a dangerous situation and we were trying to run for our lives, that she'd get left behind. Because she's slow. She just does not move quickly for anything. That wasn't the shepherds responding to this message. They move quickly, getting to Bethlehem to find the one that they heard about in the heavenly announcement. They didn't ponder it, meditate upon it. They didn't pray about it. They went. Notice it was a particular response. The Bible says they determined to go and see what? This thing which has come to pass, the end of verse number 15. Don't miss that statement. This thing which is come to pass. They did not say, we're going to go and see if the message is really true, did they? They did not say, we're going to go check this out to determine for ourselves if what we think we heard is really what we heard, if it's so. No, they said, we're going to go and see what has come to pass, what's already happened, this has happened. What are you saying, Pastor? In other words, they believed the message that they heard. The response that was necessary to the message they received was the response of faith. They believed what God told them. They weren't on their way to investigate to see if it was so. They were on their way to see what they knew in their hearts had happened because of the message that they had received. It was a personal response. It was a prompt response. And it was a particular response. Respond to the heavenly announcement. It doesn't matter who you are, and it doesn't matter what you have or have not done. It doesn't matter where you rank socially today. The Bible declares, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." God has a message for you. He's holy, he's righteous, he's perfect in every way, and you're not. Yet his message to you is not a message of condemnation, it is a message of compassion. He's provided the Savior that you need, and his name is Jesus. God offered his Son freely, and just like a Christmas gift, all that man is to do is receive him. You might ask, how should I respond to the heavenly message? Well, I would say this, you need to respond personally. I can't do it for you. Your mom, your dad can't do it for you. Your son, your daughter can't do it for you. Your pastor cannot do it for you. Your best friend can't do it for you. Your husband or your wife cannot do it for you. Only you can respond to the heavenly message for yourself. It requires a personal response. I would say you should respond promptly. The Bible declares now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. The Bible's message over and over again is don't put this off. If the Holy Spirit is dealing with your heart, telling you, you are a sinner, you need a Savior, his name is Jesus, then God's message to you is this: respond to the message. Don't put it off. Don't wait around. Respond promptly. And then it requires a particular response. What is my response supposed to be? Faith. Believe that God is who he says he is, that his heart to you is what he says it is, that Jesus Christ is the Savior that he provided for you to save you from your sin so that you might have eternal life with him. Can I share with you that just as we're to respond to the heavenly message personally, promptly, and particularly, that's the same kind of Savior he is. Jesus is a personal Savior. God gave him to you. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He is a prompt Savior. I'm glad today that when I called on the Lord Jesus Christ, believing he died for my sin, was buried, and rose again, that I didn't receive a message back from heaven saying, well, you know, I need to think about it for a little while. I need to do some investigation to see if I should really receive you into my family. Aren't you glad God didn't do that with you? No, he's a prompt Savior. When you call upon him, immediately he saves you. He delivers you from the penalty of sin. He marks out all the sins in the handwritings of ordinance against you, nailing them to his cross. He writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That doesn't happen over a period of weeks, months, and years as he investigates. It happens the moment you call out to him in faith. And it's settled. But I will also have you know this, that he's a particular Savior. We live in a world that wants to believe there are many ways to God. And there just simply isn't. I was speaking to my barber a couple weeks ago. I've mentioned him before in talking to him. He is a man of the Islamic faith. I thought it was interesting. I was asking him about his worldview and what he sees as the destiny of it and how each man can make his decision. And this is what he presented to me by way of his explanation, what he believes. He says, We can all have different ideas, but that doesn't mean that one of us is right and one of us is wrong. He said, I can stand here and look at a number and say it's a six. And you can look here and look at the same number and say it's a nine. Different answers, different opinions, but you're both right. Friend, that may work in some instances. I'm going to tell you right now, it doesn't work in this instance when we're talking about eternity. There is one and only one Savior. You can call out to Allah if you want to. You can call out to Muhammad if you want to. You can call out to Joe Smith or believe his revelations if you want to. You can pray to the Virgin Mary if you want to. But I'm telling you right now, the Bible is clear. There is one and only one Savior. His name is Jesus. And apart from faith in him, you are condemned in your sin. Respond to the heavenly message. If you cry out to Jesus, whose name alone is the only name by which you can be saved, he will save you. Then I want you to see a third thought this morning. We need to hear the heavenly announcement. We need to respond to the heavenly announcement. But then thirdly, we need to proclaim the heavenly announcement. You may be listening to me today and say, Pastor, I'm thankful that there was a time earlier in my life that I heard the heavenly announcement and that I responded in faith to Christ. I know that Jesus is my Savior. What does the message mean for me today? I've responded to Jesus in faith. I'm saved and on my way to heaven. I know that this is the time of the year that we especially consider the good news of Jesus coming into the world. Born in a manger long, long ago, so that one day he could go to the cross. But what now? You need to proclaim the heavenly announcement. Verse 20 represents what I think we would think to be the normal response from the shepherds. Verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. I mean, can you imagine being the shepherds that night? Having the glory of God radiate about you, an angel give to you the message that the long-awaited Messiah has been born in Bethlehem, and you go to Bethlehem and confirm with your eyes what you believe in your heart. There is this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah of Israel. He's the Savior of the world. We would all, I would think, recognize that the normal response then would be to praise God and to give God glory, and we should. Friends, whether you've been saved a number of days or weeks, or whether you've been saved decades, may we never get over our salvation. Restore unto me was David's prayer, the joy of thy salvation. May we never be in a place in our lives where it is so far past as we look back, or that it is just so much in the back of our minds. Hebrews chapter 2, beware that you don't neglect so great a salvation, that it does not cause us to stop and pause and give praise and thanks to God and rejoice in his glory that saved us out of our sin. But that wasn't all the shepherds did. I'm not denying that we ought to praise God and rejoice in his glory that saved us. No, we ought to absolutely do that. But what I'm saying is that's not all the shepherds did. Look at verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. What does the Bible say they did? Made known abroad. You know what that means? They went everywhere and found every person they could telling them, Christ is born. The Messiah is born. He's here. We have a message of good news. Do you imagine? We've been doing connected outreach here at church 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday, and during the daylight savings time, 6 o'clock on Thursday evenings. I don't know exactly what time of night it was, but the implication from the Word of God was this was late into the night. Can you imagine if I were to announce that we're going to do door-to-door canvassing at midnight? Going through the streets of Rocky Mount at midnight, knocking on people's doors, ringing their doorbells, waking them up. What I'm trying to say, I don't know how much activity there was in the streets of Bethlehem late in the night. That didn't stop the shepherds. They went about finding everyone they could, even at those late hours. I'm reminded of the evangelist D.L. Moody, who had made a commitment to the Lord that he would not let a day go by without sharing Christ with someone. There was one night that he went to bed and realized as he was laying there in bed that he had not yet shared Christ with anyone that day. And he didn't just say, well, I'll worry about it tomorrow and go to sleep. D.L. Moody got up from his bed and went out to the street to see if he could find someone. And there he found, if I remember correctly, a drunkard on the side of the street. And he shared the good news of Christ and the man trusted Christ. A commitment to proclaim the good news. The shepherds went about telling everyone of the good news of Jesus Christ. We are in a society that is so enamored with bad news, and I'm sorry to say that many times we get caught up with it. It's not that you and I are completely averse to sharing news. It's we get caught up talking to others about all the bad news that's going on that we're hearing. We're okay with going out and sharing with people the great deal we found on a Christmas gift we bought for someone. We're okay with talking about what's going on in politics or what's going on in our community. But how about we make a commitment this time of year? That this time of the year, may the Lord help us and strengthen us by His grace to not just share with those that we come in contact with the things that we're so used to sharing with others. How about we make a commitment to the Lord? As Psalm 107 verse 2 says, I've always loved this verse, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That we make a commitment that this time of the year especially, not the only time of the year, but especially, that we'll be proclaimers of His good news. The heavenly message is this, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I understand that, Pastor. I've responded to that message. What do you want me to do about it? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. How has it been with you this past year? How many, if any, have you shared the love of Jesus Christ with this past year? How many have heard the heavenly message because you shared it with them? You say, I'm not that kind of that person. I don't talk well with other people. I don't share things with people, really. How many times have you shared other pieces of news? Something somebody told you that you shared with somebody else. How many times have you talked with someone about a product that you liked? How many referrals have you given to someone, to some store, to some product or a cell phone provider? How many sales pitches have you made for something that you use that you like? How many times have you shared links in your social media pages to funny videos or memes that you got a laugh out of? Go ahead and do those things. That's fine. But let's not say that we're just not that kind of a person when we're okay with doing all of those things. But we can't share the greatest news that we've ever received with somebody else. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The reality is, if you suddenly discovered the cure for some terrible disease, you wouldn't be keeping it to yourself. You'd be declaring to everyone you could, especially those who had that disease, that you had the cure. Is that not what is true of us who have believed in Jesus Christ? We all had a problem that was a sentence of death in us, sin. But we found the cure. His name is Jesus Christ. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Maybe this morning is someone who's responded to the heavenly announcement that a Savior has come. The Lord is dealing with your heart about having not been consistent as a witness for Him. Perhaps today you need to make a decision. You need to respond to this heavenly announcement by simply making a commitment to the Lord during this time of the year and moving forward into the new year. I'm going to have a renewed commitment or a first-time commitment to sharing Christ with my neighbor, with my coworker, with that individual that I made a commitment to early this year that I haven't really followed through with. Let the redeemed of the Lord declare that unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. In this world, there's plenty of bad news, but there's good news to be shared. And it is the good news of Jesus Christ. Would you hear and respond to the message? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. And for just a moment, as we reflect on the message, maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart. I wonder if you're here today and can testify that you've responded to the message that there is a Savior and His name's Jesus. In other words, you can testify, I know that I'm saved, forgiven of my sin, and on my way to heaven because I have placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for my salvation. If you can say that, would you just raise your hand? Pastor, that's me. I know that I'm saved. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I'm on my way to heaven because of that. You can put your hands down. Would there be someone here today who'd say, Pastor, I can't say that for sure. I just don't know. I'm not sure that my eternity is secure in Christ. And I need prayer today. If that's you, I'm the only one looking around, and I'm doing so not to embarrass or call you out, but just to pray for you. You'd say, Pastor, that is me, and I'd like you to pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Pastor, I'm not sure about my salvation. If I were to die today, I'm not sure that my eternity is secure in Christ. Raise your hand right now. Pastor, that's me. Would you pray for me today? If that is you, you can call out to the Lord in faith right now in your own heart. Simply cry out to Him. God, I know You sent Jesus Christ in the world to die for my sin. I believe that He did. That He was buried and rose again. I'm asking You to forgive me of my sin and be my Savior. If you'll believe on Him and call Him in faith like that, He'll save you right now. How about you, Christian? You know that you're saved. This is the greatest news you've ever received and will ever receive. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Are you sharing it? Say, Pastor, God's dealing with my heart today about my faithfulness or lack thereof in sharing this good news. God's even laid a particular person on my heart that I need to share that message with. If that's you, would you just raise your hand right now all around this auditorium? Pastor, that's me. Raise it good and high. Pastor, that's me. God's dealing with my heart. See those hands. Any others? Pastor, God's dealing with my heart about my witness for Him. in just a moment when the invitation's given. If God's dealing with your heart, I'm going to ask you to come. Find a place here to bow before Him. Make a commitment to Him as He's speaking to your heart. Lord, thank You for Your Word and how it is spoken to hearts today. Help us to see that it's that time of year. We should be proclaiming Your good news of Jesus Christ. Work in our hearts right now. And if there's someone here that needs the good news of Christ, I pray You'd speak to them, that they would respond to You even now. In Jesus' name, with heads